is the Disaster Recovery Hour. Here's your host, Chris Plunkett.
Hey, good afternoon. It's the Disaster Recovery Hour. I'm your host, Chris Plunkett. Every Tuesday between 1 and 2 here at AM 1160 WVNJ. It's The Voice. Just so you know, I got to get at those call signs. You know, drhradio.net. That's the webpage you can go on if you have anything you want to ask me. Or, you know, we have some guests today that if you want to shoot out some questions for them, we can answer them as quickly as possible for you. You know, the show is about the reporting about disasters and property disasters and business continuity and things all relative to disrupting your life, whether it's personal or professional. Businesses go out of business. One in four go out of businesses after a traumatic disaster, whether it's man-made or natural. It's a very high rate. That's why I got myself involved with ACP, Association of Contingency Planners. That's an international and also obviously here in the States. Got a lot of good stuff, a lot of good intel regarding that, and which helped me expand my knowledge on the personal line stuff. You know, people who have floods and fires in their house, or they live in large apartment building. You know, they can wreak havoc because everyone's really one big tenant, and everybody kind of it's a domino effect when you have fires and floods in these buildings. You know, you see the commercials on for other companies that are out there. That's the business I'm in. I can't say their name. I'm not going to give them a plug. But I do have my own. I'm part of the Service Master franchises and also with CPP Emergency Services and Restoration. That's my business. Regarding the show, it is summertime. It's just begun, I think, officially yesterday or today or, you know, one of those things. And you know, there's a lot of intel that comes my way regarding preparedness. And you know, with the summertime, the kids are out of school. You have it's actually more hectic than it is when the school year is up and running, because you're squeezing 10 pounds in a 3 pound bag and you forget about preparedness. And that's what, you know, the show reports and talks, and we talk about disasters, large and small. But remember, everybody's disaster is a disaster to them. It could be, you know, your neighbor might say, hey, you had a little kitchen fire, and it's no big deal, get over it. But you know what? That's yours. You know, you're affecting your life. You know, you might have to move out and so on and so forth. The kids might get sick and have certain ailments to the acidity of the smoke, odor, and such. But it is, like I said, it's summertime. It might be a good idea to reevaluate your plans if you do have any types of disasters, whether they're again man-made or self-inflicted by neighbors or some kook from other parts of the earth, if you will, other parts of the world. So you should talk about, you know, look out before the hurricane season just kicked in effect, or before we get the fall, when we start having our natural disasters with our high winds and the rains and the flooding and so on and so forth. So you might want to take a look at you know, your emergency numbers. Your insurance policy is a big thing. You should definitely check into that. A lot of people are undercovered, and I see it when I get there to after these disasters affect someone's life, whether business or personal. And you know what? They're not having the contact with their insurance company or their broker to see exactly what's inside those policies and what it covers and what it doesn't cover. You'll be very surprised. And also, your coverage might be, you might not have enough coverage, to put it that way, you know, dollar-wise. Unfortunately, I've been in losses where people just don't have enough money covered. They come out of pocket. You know, think about, you know, the average basement here in Jersey, Westchester, or out there on the island. You know, your average basement is usually a finished basement. That can be an easy $15,000, $20,000 repair, you know, after the emergency services were done, whether it was a fire or a flood. Generally, the basements are consisted of flooding because, obviously, water travels down. So you really, you know, take take the show, take something from the show as a public service announcement. You should really reevaluate your policies and such. There is unfortunately that we out on the island we had that Medford shooting incident, and that's I was automatically thought of one of my past guests and a good friend of mine, Felix Nader. He's from Nader Associates, and Felix is in the security profession business. I wanted to ask him a question. Actually, there he is right now. He's on the phone, but I'm gonna have to have him. I'm gonna have to have him call into the station, and to maybe read the number or something like that. But you know, are those types of things? That's a disaster. That's coming into the pharmacy. I don't have all the intel on it yet. Felix has been is going to be calling in. Like I said, I want to get his opinion on something like that, because these things happen. They're happening more and more. And I don't know if it's because of the economic times or not. I'm not a doom and gloom guy. I want to talk about preparedness, but preparedness. Do you learn from mistakes that are made? That's one of the things that we try to hit home here with the show. Where were the mistakes, and how can you correct them and better be prepared in the future? So the Medford thing, as we wait for Felix, I was I read another article somewhere in the UK or in Europe it was, but half a dozen people. Again, it was someone came into a store and. I'm not a first responder, so I don't want to talk that way. Felix is just calling in. Felix, you out there?
Yes, I am.
Hey, how are you? Thanks for calling in. I saw the article. It's on the news, I thought about you. I know you had a little opportunity to take a look at that, because you've been on the show before, and this, a beautiful thing about the first time I met you, we talked, was when the Gifford shooting out there in Arizona, and she's making great progress. She's out in the public eye now, which is wonderful. Out there campaigning and trying to do the right thing, and get some nut job to come in and shoot up the place. But what is your take on that? Is it isolated? Do you think there's some tips that we could give the listeners? What's your take on it?
Well, first and foremost is you got to credit the police. They normally want to control the dissemination of information, and they certainly are using the video footage to their best advantage, because invariably somebody's out there that has seen something and has not been paying attention to it. So specifically to your community tips, Chris, at this time and point, based upon what has happened, the police need your assistance. Don't try to rationalize your suspicions. Whatever you think you saw that needs to be reported, report it. If you saw an event that might have been suspicious a couple of days before, and you saw that event resurface itself in front of your property, make a mental note of that and pass it along. It may mean something to the law enforcement community. You've seen a suspicious car. You've seen a car speed away from in front of your home around the event on Sunday. Don't dismiss it to kids that might be playing around. Share that information with the police, because it might be vital in the connection and the analysis of the information that they're always getting from various sources.
Yeah, and it's too early on. Again, we don't want to delve too far into it, but again, thinking about your expertise in the field and people that know Felix has been in the law enforcement and security field for 30 some odd years at this point. He's has his own agency, Nader Associates, unfortunately, in our country, we're always. We got to put the blame on somebody, whether even in my world with property damage and stuff, sometimes things do just happen, but your take is, and mine as well, is it's not so much, a pointing of the finger. We don't know as much as those tips like you were just talking about.
Yeah. Well, I typically introduce myself as the armchair analyst, because I am not there before, and I'm not there during. Mm-hmm. I'm usually on the scene afterwards.
Right.
And this is certainly one of those senseless, heinous crimes that, believe you and me, when the police catch him, and let me tell you, they're going to catch him when he goes behind bars. Those people who don't normally commit this kind of crimes during a robbery are going to teach him a lesson or two.
Yeah, that's you definitely ought to hope so for those types of things. I know you've been busy on a large project. We have a couple minutes before we go to the break. What's new in the prevention world of workplace incidents? Anything I can report? You can report for me.
Well, you know, the thing that I want to implore upon the corporate world is don't dismiss the hiring process. I know it's very expensive, I know it's time-consuming and resource-consuming, but you need to take advantage of professional help in the area of how to conduct proper pre-employment interviews. Not necessarily to identify the person who's going to go, off 10 years from now, because you can't predict that, but certainly predisposition for people who have a violent past, who might be coming into your workplace. But more importantly, Chris, you know, we shouldn't forget the internal threat that we are exposed to from terrorism. And who knows, these people might be in our workplaces just waiting for that call to action.
Right. Yeah.
So pre-employment hiring and screening is vitally important.
Yeah, I think about that pretty often. I mean, you have major corporations where thousands of people work there. It's the HR department is probably bogged down with a lot of backgrounds, and if once something gets through the without being looked at properly, that could be that one particular person. And again, not to be in that paranoid state, because you and I don't talk like that, but we're talking about preparedness, being in a state of preparedness, and.
Sure.
When we talked about the Gifford thing, there were signs. I mean, they big glaring signs. Again, I'm not a pointing finger kind of guy. I like to really resolve the issue instead of really kicking the dead horse. But there was a lot of signs there, and now you couple it with states not having funding and less tax collections and social services aren't being funded, and so you'll have more of these types of, whether it's property, whether it's human on human type of situation. So there seems to be more frequent, and I think it's a direct correlation because of the economy.
Well, I've been saying this for years. The corporate world has an untapped resource. They go out and they hire these retired law enforcement and military personnel with extensive backgrounds, with past performance evidenced by their experience that they can do this. And what do? They relegate them to an office, and they don't allow them to do the things that got them to be successful in what they were doing for 20, 25 years. Mm. You give the workplace security to the experts, and I can assure you that hiring process that I am discussing with you now could be further enhanced by giving the experts an opportunity to hone those skills and put them to work that got them to be successful in the first place in collecting information, analyzing information, evaluating information. These security guys that we hire are probably the best since 9/11, and we're not really using and tapping their resources to their highest capability to these workplaces.
It's going to, after the break, my guest today is going to be Rick, and we'll talk with Rick in a few minutes. But, here's a person who was alive for 20 years, been in the first responder business basically for 42 years, and the township has, we'll get into that. But, yeah, you talk about an untapped resource. There are a lot of guys. I mean, I got several of my friends are going to be retiring in the next couple of years. There's a valuable resource right there, you know.
Well, I say this, Chris, and I don't mean to be facetious, but this is what I say. A law enforcement officer who has the experience and expertise that he acquired over 25 years can be easily taught corporate America. A HR person who has been in HR for 26 years can be taught law enforcement.
Right.
It has to be innate and acquired over that experience.
Yeah, right. Felix, I appreciate you calling in. I mean, again, I saw the article and I heard it on the news, and I'm like, you know what? I want to see what Felix has a little insight for me and also for my listeners, our listeners. I said you're part of the program also. Appreciate it. I guess we talk every month, every other month, or something like that. So we'll keep in touch, and I really appreciate calling in. Thanks a lot.
Okay, Chris, my pleasure. Thank you.
Take care. We'll go to a break and go with the next guest, and rock and roll. A couple minutes. Be right back.
If you missed part of today's program or you want to hear the show again, you can do so with the Disaster Recovery Hour podcast. Just go to www.drhradio.net, enter your email address, and the show will be delivered to your inbox. Keep you and your family safe by getting information on being prepared with the Disaster Recovery Hour podcast, available at drhradio.net. When disaster comes into your life and attacks your property, you need action fast. CPP Emergency Services and Restoration will find the visible and hidden damage caused by a fire or flood. With quick response and correctly applied damage mitigation protocols, CPP can save you valuable time and money and get you back in the game of life. Anytime disaster strikes, quick, focused action is what can save your property. CPP's professional staff is on call 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year. To reach CPP Emergency Services and Restoration anytime, visit them on the web at www.cppems.com. That's www.cppems.com, cppems.com. CPP Emergency Services and Restoration, servicing the New York Metro and Tri-State area.
Do you know that there are some emergency shelters that have no emergency backup generators? You can be prepared and have your own emergency generator for your home and business. Hi, I'm Dan O'Brien from Academy Electrical Contractors Incorporated, a full-service electrical contractor servicing the tri-state area since 1981. Our specialty is generators. We give you a complete turnkey installation, service your existing generator, rent you the temporary machine for that planned shutdown or that unexpected power failure. Academy Electrical Contractors can install a generator to protect your family and business from a power grid failure. Power your heating and air conditioning system, keep your refrigerator and freezer running, power your well pump, or power your sump pump. Visit us on the web at academyelectrical.com. That's academyelectrical.com. Or give me a call at 877-SPARKIES. That's 877-772-7597. Academy Electrical Contractors, generating satisfaction 24/7 since 1981.
In the early hours after the tsunami, it was ham radio that was on the air, saving lives. When Florida was ripped by hurricanes, the hams were there. In the critical moments after the attack of 9/11, it was the hams who coordinated emergency messages. When disasters strike, the hams are ready. Ham radio works when other communications don't. To learn how you can become a ham radio operator, call the ARRL, the National Association for Amateur Radio, at 1-800-326-3942.
And we're back. It's Disaster Recovery Hour. I'm your host, Chris Plunkett, WVNJ AM 1160, The Voice. Just what I wanted to break. Thanks, Felix, for calling in on that info. I was mentioning my next guest is Rick Gimble. Rick Gimble is the Director of Emergency Management for the Township of Islip. Rick, you there? Rick? I don't think.
Yes. Good afternoon.
Hey, Rick. How are you?
Good, how are you?
Good. I met Rick at the Long Island Association of Contingency Planners about a month and a half ago, and contingency planning is obviously it was a conference on business continuity for businesses when disasters, man made or natural, affect. And it was a good conference. Met some good people, and obviously one of those good people was Rick Gimble. Rick was 20 years, now retired from the FDNY, been in the emergency service business, first responder business for 42 years at this point. Rick's got an extensive background, which makes him the number one candidate. We're out there in the island of Islip, being the director of OEM. Rick, I know you were a chief a couple of times, for Holbrook?
Yes, that's correct. Holbrook Fire Department.
Yeah, along with the Urban SNR team. You were talking to me yesterday, yesterday about there weren't these search and rescue teams, the urban SNR teams, throughout the country. There was only one or two at the time, and you guys became number one or number two, right? Is that what the other?
Yeah, I think we were the second or third USAR team in the country.
Yeah, you know, I didn't realize this, but you know, you have 330,000 people. Out there,
we cover about 330,000 people in our town with 105 square miles.
Yeah, that's. I mean, put in comparison, that's a lot bigger than say like Newark or Camden. What you think of urban? There's a lot involved. Now the OEM department. That how long has that been in existence out there on the island, on your area?
This started when Supervisor Phil Nolan took office. One of his changes was to create a department just for emergency management and not have it included in other departments. So he created a one department, one person in charge of emergency management for the town of Islip.
Yeah, but you know, ever since down, you know, 9/11, people know what OEM is. But has it always been OEM, or was it called a different type of agency before?
I think in the years past, before OEM, I guess it was public safety. That's where it fell under. So you probably heard more public safety than you did Office of Emergency Management.
So
now people are starting to form Office of Emergency Management because they see the need for it.
Right. Now, you obviously covering all the demographics and the population-wise, you would need one figurehead. Now, I shouldn't say figurehead, but one person in charge, because you can't lop it onto the PD or the fire department. It's just too much to go on, because you're handling life and safety. Or why don't you give an example of how the OEM operates itself?
Well, actually, we support and coordinate all the agencies together. In case there was a disaster here in the town of Islip, we will coordinate all the agencies along with Suffolk County OEM, because they cover the main part of it, Suffolk County, of all the townships. Actually, we report to them for help and assistance. But on the front lines, it's town of Islip, and we support all our fire departments, EMS, emergency services groups, and we all come together and we sit down and we put a plan together and we get back this infrastructure that might have been destroyed or hurt or, you know, during a storm or a major disaster.
Now, where I sit over here on the Jersey side of the river, you know, we don't get hit the way you guys get hit when it's in hurricane season, because you're sticking out into the ocean a little further. So you're, you know, are there, you know, most OEM departments, do they have a stock, say, like 80% of it is pretty uniform throughout the, and then you have the 20% that you modify to your region?
Yeah, I think we're about 80%, all of us are together. I mean, I think we're the only town that just strictly has an OEM department, and that's all we do here is just we devise plans up, we meet people, we go out and help out the business world to do a public-private partnership. I think that's so important to do today, to get them on board with us, and that's what we do. To be involved with other departments during the day, it just takes away what we're doing here.
Yeah. Now, so on the island, obviously, it's you don't have the terrain that we have over here. What are the things? I mean, hurricane season just started at the beginning of this month. Some of the things that, you know, I you know, for me, you know what I do during the day. You know, it's the floods or nighttime, whatever time I get called, with the flooding and the wind damage and things like that. The coordination and the fires on the island with you have a lot of flooding out there. So you're talking to businesses. How do you get the intel to the you know, Harry homeowner? How do you get that out there?
Well, in the past couple of years, we had seminars during the summertime at libraries or schools at night to let the public come in, and we hand out brochures. We do an hour segment on how to be prepared for a disaster. It doesn't have to be a hurricane. I mean, look at our past storms we've been having. Our thunderstorms have been severe.
Right.
Luckily, around town of Islip, they've been going around us, but look in your area and our area out east, we've been getting hit pretty hard with thunderstorms in northeast.
Yeah. Now, when you have your plan and you put it into effect, are you relying on private industry to help out at all, or is it just the volunteers and the paid guys?
Well, I think what the plan is to get these people on board, and God forbid ever there's a major disaster like a Hurricane Cat 3 come through here, we're going to need everybody to help each other out. And the private industry, in some aspects, will have maybe special equipment. Like yourself, your business could help us out and with pumps and stuff like that to help certain areas of our town get back into some kind of normal state.
Right.
So we get some infrastructure going there. We want to get the businesses back in business as soon as we can, because that's where the tax revenue is, and that's where people need to go and get supplies and all. So we need to get them back.
Right. Now, I mean, you spoke at the conference, and It's amazing that and you know, with Andy Weisberg, who's the president out there on the Long Island contingency of ACP, that you know, it's got to be talked about more, because a lot of people aren't, they're not aware of it. Which,
right,
I would,
we do this. Yeah, this is our third year. Oh, I've been doing this with ACP and Andy and his group together as a joint venture with the town of Islip, and I'm proud to say that this is our third year, and this has been the biggest turnout we ever had, and that makes me proud, because the more people show up, the more word is getting out, and that really makes me feel good, because now we're getting the word out to our public and private sectors.
Yeah, I mean, when you go, you know, some people on this side, or even, you know, even people, you got people in Queens and Brooklyn, they don't get out to the island that often. It's there's a lot of business parks out there, a lot of corporations. With IT and you know, communications and you know, one good, you know, a category three rolls on through, you know, like you said, tax base, yeah, you know what, it does, it come back to that, but it's really, I mean, it does, but the human asset, people want to go back to doing the normal thing that they do every day, and I don't think that, like, the island has so much corporate business out there, that's probably very challenging.
Definitely. I mean, you know, we have a commercial airport that has
right.
commercial and private flights, 450 flights daily, with over 4,000 people moving per day. Plus, we have a major, we have two railroad hubs that probably carries about a couple thousand people per day, commuter-wise. We also have Final Hour, and that now in the summertime, we probably move 14,000 people plus on a weekend, back and forth on ferries. So, and plus we have the federal courthouse building in our township. We're pretty well saturated with businesses, high-tech business, big corporations, and a lot of movement of commuters and people.
Yes, I was lucky to meet Superintendent Mr. Nolan at the conference, and I forgot about the airport. I mean, that's a huge responsibility.
Yep.
And you know, even snow. You know, I mean, the plane's moving. That would probably fall into your direction also, no?
Yeah, during actually, we had two blizzards this past year. Well, in the year of snow, anyway, from December to March. Our airport works very heavily and hard, and it's always open. It's just that the air carriers are the ones that cancel flights, but right. Our runways are open. We keep them open all the time.
Yeah, I mean, when I was out last week, I was out there on a job. It's an untapped resource, I'll tell you that. But that doesn't fall. Doesn't fall under Port Authority. That would be your department.
This is us, the town of Islip, under Commissioner Teresa Rizzuto, and of course our supervisor Phil Nolan and the town board.
Yeah, that's. I don't think it gets enough credit, or enough ink, for that matter. Like the Westchester one, you know, they talk about that up there. I don't know what kind of heavies they travel in and out of there, but. There's usually an incident with the smaller planes, which would also be under your jurisdiction too. We're gonna go to a break, and Andy, just another. I know you had a 2 o'clock appointment. If I can grab your ear for another, say, 15 minutes, sound good?
Sure.
Excellent. We'll go to break. Be right back.
When disaster comes into your life and attacks your property, you need answers. CPP is the answer. CPP is a full-service emergency services and restoration company. With 25 years of experience in emergency management and restoration, their seasoned team of skilled professionals is ready to assess damages and restore your property to its pre-loss condition. Who do I call first? What about insurance? Is it safe to stay here? What do I do next? Fire, smoke, water, or mold, CPP restores your property and your peace of mind. CPP Emergency Services and Restoration, they've got answers. To reach CPP Emergency Services and Restoration anytime, visit them on the web at www.cppems.com. That's cppems.com, cppems.com. CPP Emergency Services and Restoration, servicing the New York Metro and Tri-State area.
I know it's tough to hear me with this firefighter's air pack on, but it's the only way I can be in this smoldering pile of ashes that was my office. And I could get in trouble, but I hope you won't make the same mistake I did, since at least 1 in 4 businesses that suffer this type of loss never reopen. So here goes. Just 3 days ago, we sat in this melted wreck of what used to be a conference room talking about how good things were. Over there was the tech room. The fire's bad enough, but the water damage really gets me. Look, here's an article describing us as visionaries. I should have done our disaster plan, but with everything else, I just didn't see this coming. Visionaries, huh? Well, the good news is, at least the ashes can't burn down.
There'll always be a few fires to put out around the office, unless it's not around anymore. But when you have a disaster plan, you can adapt, recover, and stay in control. Go to Ready.gov and make your company's plan. Ready.gov. It's never too late to protect your business until it is. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Homeland Security and the Ad Council.
The money is all dried up, and the work is all gone.
Attorney Michael Guidreau is the cure for your bankruptcy blues. With a bankruptcy success rate of nearly 100%, Michael Guidreau is an expert in bankruptcy, credit card settlement, and loan modification. For a consultation, call 201-837-7777. 201-837-7777. Call today and get rid of your bankruptcy blues.
Welcome back. Disaster Recovery Hour. I'm your host, Chris Plunkett, every Tuesday here at WVNJ, AM 1160. Any questions or, you know, regarding this program, any other program, me in general, or even for the chief, if you wanted to get something out to him, and even if you want to do it tonight when you podcast, you know, go to the drhradio.net, drhradio.net. You can sign up for the podcast and listen to it at your leisure. On the phone is Rick Kimball. Rick is the Director of Emergency Management for the Township of Islip, which encompasses about 330,000 people, 105 square miles. Rick, you know, because when the island gets hit, they get hit pretty good. Do you work closely with FEMA? Rick?
Miller.
I think we lost Rick. We lose you, Rick? I think we might have lost Rick. And we got some dead air going on right now. But so my question is going to be for Rick when he gets back on the line is how they work with FEMA. And everybody knows who FEMA is. It's the Federal Emergency Management Agency, actually standing for federal. They oversee locals and municipalities and cities and things like that. I ran into my first experience with them was downtown. Rick, you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Oh, sorry, pal. I don't know if it was our side. My question was, you know, because the island, when it does get hit, it gets hit pretty good. Do you, is it a coordination with FEMA?
It's a coordination with the other towns in the county first. Then it goes to the state, and then the state is the one that goes to FEMA.
Then it goes to FEMA. Demographic large area, or is it a...
No, it's just the way it works. That's the chain of command. It goes from the towns to the county, then the county to the state, and the state to FEMA. And then once the declaration is declared by the president, then it's up to each township to put in for their projects they need to be done by FEMA.
I got a question from George. He's on the webpage. It's for you, Rick, obviously. Has there been many cutbacks in state and federal, and what's the percentage of those operations, what percentage of the operations are volunteer?
So yeah, I haven't seen any cutbacks. We have I have over 8 FEMA projects in the works, and that's being reimbursed by FEMA. So I haven't seen any cutbacks really on our behalf. I think even Congressman King is doing a good job of Homeland Security and getting us the money to stay here in the state.
Yeah, yeah,
along
he has
with
been
our senators, so yeah. I think that helps us a lot too.
Yeah, fighting for. I mean, we're a different breed of cat over here. You know, obviously with downtown and such. You know, I'm not saying that the rest of the country should be susceptible to terrorist attacks, but
we are
the big bullseye here. And but part, that second part of that question was how much of the operations are volunteer people?
That's a tough question for me to answer, but I could tell you this: we have a lot of paid and professional people working, and we have a lot of great volunteers, like the CERT teams. Of course, all our fire departments here on Long Island are volunteer, including our EMS services.
Oh, really?
So we have a lot of volunteerism compared to the paid people.
Yeah. You know, I got another question from Carl, and it says, what programs do you feel, obviously, Rick, what do you feel need more attention and funding? You just said it, King, you know, our representative out there, King's been dynamite with getting funding for us out there in the island.
I can answer that. That's an easy one. I think the funding has to triple down to the townships. It usually goes to the state and to the counties, and then the towns don't see it. And I think that has to change, and I think the towns have to receive some monies. Like, we're just building a new EOC, and which stands for Emergency Operations Center, and we grew out of the one we have, and it's hard to get funding because funding stops at the higher level, and we're trying to get funding for ourselves to build our EOC and to make it compatible to meet the demands of today, and also so we could work with other counties, other townships and county as OEM to OEM, you know?
Right. Now, could Joe Citizen make a pledge, not a pledge, but sound out as a voice, say, listen, you know, our OEM director, not director, but, you know, the department, they might need this, they might need that. Is it just, like, say, let's just use your department, for example, you're the one who has to, you know, put that letter together and say, listen, this is what we need. And then you had the backup of the population saying, listen.
Yeah, I guess the Joe Citizen could contact their congressmen and senators and even the local assemblymen and senators of the state to say, look, you know, my township needs some help, and so I help them out. That always helps, you know. The more the merrier, you know.
Yeah.
I need. I think the people don't see the need. I really don't think they see it until something happens.
Right.
And you go, oh, my God, look what we got, you know.
Yeah. You and I talked about that, you know, when with the need, and people go back to, if it's not in their face, you know, the daily grind consumes a person. You know, we're all at fault for it, without a doubt.
Mm-hmm.
You know, soccer moms and dads, you know, getting home from work late and then trying to shoot and catch the last couple of innings. They're not taking a state police helicopter, but, you know, they're shooting up the parkway or up the turnpike or out there on the LIE to get to these games, and you forget. And, you know, at the beginning of the show, I was talking about, you know, it's summertime now. Things get a little scaled back. The kids are home. You know, mom and dad, you know, both, you know, a lot of two family incomes and working a lot, could start looking at the preparedness side you know, and like you said, it's not in their face. And I guess the message can never stop. It's got to be constantly pounded. And
I think the biggest thing is here on Long Island is twofold. One, we cannot evacuate Fire Island. Everybody knows that. Number two is be prepared. Have a plan for your home. Have a plan for your business, and that goes a long way. If you want to learn about planning, you can go to ACP meetings every second Friday of the month. I think they stop for the summertime, but they talk about these plans. They help you design these plans. They help you what you need to know about these plans for the businesses. And on the private side, and the homeowner, we do these seminars every year. We try to reach out. We have a website. Go to the website, and you get information from us, the Red Cross. Be prepared. Make a plan. That's so important.
Yeah. The .gov, you know, ready.gov. And there's a question from Jeff.
That's a great place to go, yes.
Yeah,
ready.gov gives you a lot of information. If not, if you have any questions, always call your OEM in your local area. I'm sure they will help you out.
Right. And that's the question. The question from Jeff was, what does Rick suggest individuals do to make sure they are prepared? But you just said it. There's some negative stuff about the internet, without a doubt, but one of the positive sides is the intel that's out there for preparedness. And that's that ready.gov, and even just punch it in prepared. You know, you Google it. It could be, you know, listen, people live, you know, live in studio apartments in the city. What can they do? You know, there's, I've seen it, and there's a couple of websites on my website that you just click on, and you could give you some intel on what to do. But, you know, whether it's the guy who owns the pizzeria or it's the guy who's got 500 employees, a manufacturing firm or something, you know, and offices like yours, even the little towns in Bergen County up there in Westchester, the smaller towns, they're generally run by most of them, tell me if I'm wrong, are run by first responders, so they know the
most
sense
of them are.
They know the sense of urgency. Is there a yardstick that OEM should go by? Should they X, Y, and Z? Is Joe Public allowed to make suggestions on those types of things? I was always curious about that.
I'm always looking for suggestions. Maybe we could do our job better. You know, we're not perfect, but I'm always looking for new avenues and new ideas. So I take everybody's comments, and I take them strongly. And we share them with the supervisor. If not, we just go along with it, and we do what we have to do.
Right.
One of the things that we did do here in the town that we're pretty proud of, and the supervisor knows, is that we have so many events that I'm sure other towns don't have this, and I want to share that because I think it's so important. Every event, and it comes down to your comment in the beginning with your friend there about the shooting here in Medford. Every event, and we have plenty of shootings here in the town of Iceberg, I hate to say that, but it's true.
Right.
And they're getting better. The police department is getting better at controlling this, but every event, I don't care if it's a parade, if it's a social gathering, if it's a church group having a social gathering, every event goes across several desks, and one of those desks is mine, OEM. And we created a incident action plan for every event. So when they fill the permit out to have the event, they have to fill out an incident action plan, and that gives us the, it's a plan they write up, it's a boilerplate they can fill in, and some of them get bigger.
Mm-hmm.
And we take that plan and we review it between myself, the head of public safety, which is Commissioner O'Leary here, and the third precinct, or the fifth precinct, which is two precincts that cover my township mostly. And we sit down and we talk to the event planner, and we make sure that everything is safe. We have enough security for the event if it's a large one. And cause we had several in the past that really crippled our area because we didn't know what was going on. So we come up with this plan, and I think it's working very well, and we keep it safe. And the police department is well aware of an event coming up, that they know they have to beef up their patrols or whatever. So it's really helping out a lot in our township. And I want to share that because I think other towns don't have this type of policy, and they should look into it.
Yeah.
It really makes a safe event for the person who's having the event, so they can have fun and have the event, and it keeps our town, our infrastructure pretty safe and always moving.
Yeah, you think about, you know, the season that we're in, you got fireworks. You know?
Yep.
And there's always something, you know, page, you know, front page of the Post in the news or something, you know, so a house fire from a bottle rocket that went the wrong way, or people being too close to going to, you know, I've been to a couple of towns, not mine. I actually, I think our town is outstanding, the one that I live in, with preparedness along those lines. I know some guys, and I know they're up to the task. But I've been to fireworks in other towns where I can't believe that people are being allowed to be that close to the fireworks.
Yeah, we have a plan to go. As a matter of fact, we have a large fireworks show here in our township this year at our park, and out in the water. And that's a big plan, and that plan alone, it's probably 4 pages long, and it includes the local fire department, the local EMS, a local harbor police, our county, Suffolk County Police Department, plus numerous park rangers and our public safety is involved, because we expect to have a couple thousand people, and we want to make sure the traffic flows in and out, and people enjoy themselves and not get upset with, you know, that road rage.
Mm-hmm.
We try to move them out. So we have a plan together, and we change the route of the roads, and you have to have that plan. Without that plan, this is where things happen.
Yeah, and then you know, and then it's life and property. you're on the life, and I'm on the property. Well, no,
right.
we're both on that, but
we're both on that.
Yeah, it's amazing because when I was thinking about it the other night when we were at the fireworks, My kids are running around. You know, all the kids, they get all jacky and get all jacked up over the fireworks.
Sure.
But you know what? You still got to be a parent and say you have to eyeball and make sure, you know, like, don't go too far to the fence. And you know, we had plenty of ambulances. The fire department was on call. It was positioned on two
sure.
different sides of the park, which is obviously by design. And also some guys, on the job with the lookouts, you know, because you never... Fireworks can go sideways, and before you know it, you got a house fire, and I'm sure you've been on many of them.
Yep.
Lost two firemen in the Arizona fires. Have you? And I popped in my head before, because the island can get dry, and you have fast greenery out there. You've had forest fires like that out there, haven't you?
Yes, we had that in the 80s. I think 80s or 90s. Probably in the early 90s, we had that large brush fire that we haven't had in ever. And I was out there. I was actually second due at that one as a coordinator for the county. And that was amazing. It was just an awe to look up and go, what is this? How do you handle this, you know? And the volunteers came out and did an excellent job controlling that, you know. And, it's starting to get dry here. We haven't had much rain here. When we do, we have a thunderstorm that gives us 2 inches of rain. But then
yeah.
In 2 days, it's dry and... We watch out for the season now, especially the late July, August, where the rain doesn't come as much as it does now. But
people wouldn't
for us, in town of Ice up here, we have over 1,400 acres of land just dedicated to parks and recreation use. So we'll always keep an eye on that.
Yeah, I don't think people. I don't think. You know, and they really shouldn't be thinking. Joe citizens should be able to sleep at night, and that's, you know, the job that you do, and that helps a citizen sleep at night, worrying about things like that. But that's what you guys, you're worrying about it, and you're
yep.
the action plans and being prepared, and including with the businesses.
That's the other thing we have here in the town that we implemented is we purchased two weather station type of computerized weather service, and we give out the alerts to our firemen, our fire chiefs, our EMS chiefs, our local officials, anybody else who's that important, our lifeguards, and we give out those messages when we see a storm coming. We can know exactly within, sometimes it's closer than that, but we let our people know by a fast text message out to these people that are local severe thunderstorm is coming our way with hail or severe lightning and heavy rain, and our people know that. We try to get it out as fast as we can. Sometimes it doesn't happen. I can't type that fast, but we get it out to our people, and only when severe storms. We don't want to abuse it. We only give it out when we really feel that the weather service is telling us, look, it's severe, and we see it coming, and sometimes it breaks away before it gets here, but we let our people know. We have a service that tells us what hamlet it's going to hit and what time, so we're pretty proud of that, and I think I'm watching the weather right now by you, and you have some storms just north of you coming.
Yeah.
So maybe this afternoon you'd be getting hit with one of those.
Yeah, I have to go up north for a baseball game with my son, so I don't know if that's going to happen.
Well, be prepared for a storm.
Yeah, yeah. I do have a trunk full of gear. That's
okay.
For sure. Rick, I appreciate it. I got another question, but I think it's insurance driven. It was a pleasure. I'm glad you took
some... Well, I'll give you one important
note
on insurance. We had a major flooding last year, and we had over 1,000 homes call my office, and we visited every one of them. And the sad thing to let people know is, even though they have flood insurance, be very careful, read your plan, because we had over 1,000 homes that were not covered, even though
right.
they had the insurance,
mm-hmm.
because the water came from the ground up.
I know.
And had a flood coming into the house, so... let the people know that. That's very important about the insurance.
Yeah. I mean, we will, let me see, both March storms. You had the one last year, and then we had the one this year. Identical. And I'm out here by the Ramapo River in Passaic, and I got the same amount of calls I did last year. I was busy, but only half of the people did something about their insurance. The other half didn't, and it was almost like doing
yep.
pro bono work, and I felt
yep.
bad for them. But you know what? I'm in business to do business, but it was
yep.
it was a shame. But
I felt bad for these people. I tried everything I could to help them, and we just couldn't. All we could do is apply for FEMA help, and the only help that came was these 1% loans for them.
Yeah, yeah, no, I know it's a shame, and so it's a never ending battle on.
No,
listen,
yep.
Again, if everyone did everything properly, maybe, you know, I wouldn't be in business, or you would be less busy, if you will.
Right.
But that's not the case, and not to say that, you know, I'm pointing fingers at people or being knuckleheads out there, but things are gonna definitely happen. But you know, there are some things that could be preventable.
Like I said, have a plan.
Yeah, have a plan, Rick. I appreciate it, and I'll hopefully I can tap your knowledge every once in a while, if you don't mind.
Anytime.
Thanks,
my friend. Just remember, if you see something, say something.
Yeah, Roger that. Thanks. I appreciate it. Take care, Rick. That was Rick Gimble, Director of Emergency Management of the Township of Islip. Man, you know, 330,000 people. That's a burden. I do have a before we go to a quick question. Dave's question is: any chance of getting homeowners insurance companies to offer discounted rates to families that have filed approved safety and disaster plans? You know what? Each carrier is different. It's like I know what, obviously we all know about the insurance car commercials about, you know, safe driving. But you'd have to ask your broker, and if it's a company insurance company, call that 1-800 number and talk to a rep. But there is some form of discounts. I just don't know which ones they are, because they vary from one carrier to another. Let's go to a break and wrap up the show.
If you missed part of today's program or you want to hear the show again, you can do so with the Disaster Recovery Hour podcast. Just go to www.drhradio.net, enter your email address, and the show will be delivered to your inbox. Keep you and your family safe by getting information on being prepared with the Disaster Recovery Hour podcast, available at drhradio.net.
Do you know that there are some emergency shelters that have no emergency backup generators? You can be prepared and have your own emergency generator for your home and business. Hi, I'm Dan O'Brien from Academy Electrical Contractors Incorporated, a full-service electrical contractor servicing the tri-state area since 1981. Our specialty is generators. We give you a complete turnkey installation, service your existing generator, rent you the temporary machine for that planned shutdown or that unexpected power failure. Academy Electrical Contractors can install a generator to protect your family and business from a power grid failure. Power your heating and air conditioning system, keep your refrigerator and freezer running, power your well pump, or power your sump pump. Visit us on the web at academyelectrical.com. That's academyelectrical.com. Or give me a call at 877-SPARKIES. That's 877-772-7597. Academy Electrical Contractors, generating satisfaction 24/7 since 1981.
When disaster comes into your life and attacks your property, you need action fast. CPP Emergency Services and Restoration will find the visible and hidden damage caused by a fire or flood. With quick response and correctly applied damage mitigation protocols, CPP can save you valuable time and money and get you back in the game of life. Anytime disaster strikes, quick, focused action is what can save your property. CPP's professional staff is on call 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year. To reach CPP Emergency Services and Restoration anytime, visit them on the web at www.cppems.com. That's www.cppems.com, cppems.com. CPP Emergency Services and Restoration, servicing the New York Metro and Tri-State area.
At least one in four businesses affected by a disaster never reopen. Let me repeat. At least one in four businesses affected by a disaster, whether it's man-made or natural, never reopen. Yet far too many business owners put off their company's disaster.
You have 5 new messages.
Can you sign it for me, please?
Don't forget those copies for the presentation.
Disaster plan because they let too many day-to-day things get in the way.
Is that 3 p.m. going to be all right with your schedule?
Hey, don't forget that Stan proposes due.
Be in the conference room in 5 minutes, please.
To save your messages, press 1.
Receive dispatch. Truck 47 en route to 614 North Front Street.
Received. Be advised, truck 47. Heavy fire showing from the 9th floor. Second alarm being dispatched at this time.
Disasters are unpredictable, but when you have a plan in place, you can better adapt, recover, and stay in control. So don't wait. Visit ready.gov to make your company's disaster plan. Ready.gov. It's never too late to protect your business until it is. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Homeland Security and the Ad Council.
Welcome back, Disaster. And I am Chris Plunk. Hope day between 1 and 2. Also, they rebroadcast it on Saturdays. I believe that's noon. Isn't that noon, Dave? Dave's telling me in the window, as I just say. Eddie Scazzeri, remember that? And the fan. But anyway, I want to say thanks to Director OEM out there in the township of Islip is Rick Gimble. like I said, I met Rick at that ACP meeting, conference, I should say, and he said it before about it was the biggest in 3 years since I've been doing it. So it's growing, which is great. I actually joined. I think it's a great organization for Intel. To help me do my business, to help me with my customers, we can all help each other out. That's a big burden. I think, the Department of OEM, being as a department all by itself with a township like that. And I know over here in the city, they all have their own departments, because of just massive amounts of people and stuff like that. Rick brings a lot to the table, 20 years on AFDNY, God knows what he's seen, including the biggest tragedy was downtown, heavily involved with that, and I know, I don't want to go down that path, I hopefully I can lean on him in the future. He's got a lot of intel. Again, you know what, if you want to give me a question to ask Rick and I can put it up on the webpage, go for it. Like I said, when you sign up or you already signed up for the podcasts, something pops in your head, throw it out there, myself or someone reviewing the webpages, we can get that info out there. Which reminds me, I actually had this conversation last night with my son. I was in my home office doing some work, and I smelled something. Something was in a toaster oven, and my wife had put something in there and scooted out, and I smelt it. And that's how simple those things and how quickly those things can go awry. So again, I pounded it into him. I said, "What are you going to do? If that fire happened right there, what are you going to do? What are you supposed to do? Then where are you supposed to meet?" And so those are the things that I've gotten, I've been doing for a couple of years now because, after of being in my business with floods and fires and smoke damage and large apartment buildings, being part of those disaster cleanups, you learn, how those people made mistakes, if they did, and how can you bring it into your life and try to avoid your family from making those mistakes, including myself. I'm fallible. We're human beings. So it happens every day. The day I stop making mistakes is the day they'd be putting dirt on top of me. But it's the summertime, just started kicking up pools, and don't forget about pool safety. God forbid some kid climbs over your fence and goes swimming in your pool. And not everybody has a pool, small percentage, but still, those are the kinds of things that your ready.gov government, the websites, they put out there. That intel is out there. I do have a question. I'm sorry, Brian. It's been so long. Brian's question was that he doesn't live on the island, but it seems that the storms are more frequent and more severe, and they are. Percentage-wise, they are. You can actually go on the website, weather.com, and pick up a particular region. I think that's the website, and they'll give you like 50 years of storm related data. But it's they are bigger and more severe. And the more frequent, the funny thing about it is the weather, if you look at the country, the wet areas are getting more wet and flooding, and the dry areas are getting more dry. So I'm not a climatologist, but it's out there if you wanted to get that information. Wrapping up the show, like I said, the ready.gov websites have a lot of intel out there for you. It's the summertime, the heat, we had the high heat with the humidity, and one of the things, what was it, 2 weeks ago, and that storm rolled in, with the Black Eyed Peas were going to go on in Central Park. Just think about this, okay? They don't cancel it. Something happens. Lightning, trees fall on somebody. City's getting sued. City should have known better. They should have canceled the concert, so on and so forth. But they canceled it, and people are upset that the, you know, the city didn't rain that much. And, you know, so you're damned if you did, damned if you don't. You know, that's the unfortunate part of it. You know, they're trying to do the right thing. It's a free concert. Get the people out, listen to music. Listen, I'm not a DJ here. I'm just talking about disasters and such. So we're wrapping it up. Again, go to the ready.gov pages for your particular state. They got a lot of information for you. Just taking care of your own house or your business, business continuity plan. Have a plan in place. Disaster Recovery Hour. I'm your host, Chris Plunkett, every Tuesday between 1 and 2 here at WVNJ AM 1160. I thought it was another great show. I'm a pretty fortunate individual to meet some great people in the world of disasters. The continuing disaster that I need to repeat is the war. Let's end the war. Let's bring home our troops. God bless our country, and I'll talk to you next week. Take care.